We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Gwink, Hartman, and the Hartman Group of Companies. My name is Sedgwick County Commissioner Ryan Beatty, filling in for the one and only John Whitmer this evening. We're happy you've joined us tonight here at what John calls your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. We're pleased that you're with us this evening. If you'd like to call into the studio lines, we're open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 or by email at john at knssradio.com or on Facebook at The John Whitmer Show and on X. Thank you, Elon Musk. At John R. Whitmer, reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We have a great show planned for you tonight. Coming up here in just a few minutes, I'll explore why some say that marijuana is more menace than medicine with Tony Mativi, director of the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. Paula Scanlon's in tonight from the Independent Women's Forum, and she's joining us to discuss this week's decision by the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics that bans transgender women from competing in women's sports. Then we have my friend Sheriff Jeff Easter. He'll be here with us to discuss the plans for the South Central Regional Psychiatric Hospital and why he says the new facility is essential. We'll also talk with Dan Murray from the National Federation of Independent Business Kansas about a new survey that shows small business optimism has reached the lowest level since 2012 as owners continue to manage numerous economic headwinds. Since the legislature's out on break, we'll give a local government update from Wichita City Council member Dalton Glasscock. And all the while, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. As I start my second year on the County Commission, I'm excited about several significant opportunities. There's going to be advances in our community approach on issues of behavioral health, homelessness, economic development, as well as noticeable change in the collaboration you're going to see with Sedgwick County government and the city of Wichita. These are really, really good things for our region. But there's also going to be challenges. Of the many things that are valid causes for concern, the rising cost of government is near the top of my list. To be clear, the steady increases in the cost of government aren't due to frivolous spending, at least not for the county's budget. The discretionary spending at Sedgwick County government is only about 3.5%. The pressures on our future budgets are largely due to the increases in compensation. What I deem to be necessary, important, and significant changes in how we pay the nearly 2,800 employees working for the 46 departments of Sedgwick County government. A large part of my 2022 campaign, and I was in this studio talking about it many times, was based on the stability of county government. Staffing vacancies had left a sizable impression on our ability to perform effective and efficient services. And there is a noticeable and dangerous effect of instability when you're dealing with public safety. As a reminder, the day I made the decision to run for office, EMS had lost a third of their paramedics. You ask, well, put that into context. Is that really a problem? Well, When some parts of our county have 20 to 25 minute wait times to get an ambulance on scene, I'd say that's a major problem, and that had to be addressed. Our sheriff was down 112 deputies. 911 emergency communications was as low as 62% staffing while taking 1,100 calls a day. The starting wage of a Sedgwick County firefighter was only $14.60. And ComCare was down over 200 employees in the midst of a behavioral and substance use crisis. Public safety and public services are core functions of county government, and staffing instability was preventing these departments from doing their jobs effectively. As I learned very quickly, competitive compensation was a big part of the equation, and the stability that this community desperately needed came at a high cost. When I explain it that way, most people nod their heads in agreement. So why the concern? What's the problem? Well, the challenge is that these costs are funded through more taxation, such as property taxes. And the impact of these sharp rises in taxes, alongside the impact of sharp inflation, has a significant impact on our people. In fact, I simply don't believe that our people can endure more increases in taxation without seeing diminishing returns for this community. So what do we do? Well, as I see it, there are three options to counteract this rising cost of government. First, we can just continue as is. We grab some of the assessed value growth each year, we fund some nominal increases for county compensation, and we just continue business as usual while telling you that we're doing our very best to keep your property taxes in check. Well, that's an option, and that's normally the way things go. I'm going to tell you right now, I have no appetite for that. The second option, we just start cutting services. Remember, the bulk of what we do is public safety, public health, and public works. And there are very, very minimal opportunities to cut anything when we have just went through a season of rebuilding staffing so that we can perform these functions adequately. So the obvious targets of any cuts can't be in public safety. It can't be in public health. It need to be in areas of discretionary investments. Economic development funds, think about the Sedgwick County Zoo or Exploration Place, parks. These types of community assets would be the only options we can look to for cuts. The third option, we can reform the model. We look to find a new method to fund important quality of life investments in this community, like shifting from property tax to sales tax at places like the zoo. And then we take county government down to the studs and we refocus it on the core functions of what we are called to do. Lastly, and most importantly, we look to modernize local government and find ways to share and consolidate services with our 20 cities where it's applicable. Think about areas like park and rec, environmental resources, animal control. Think of all these redundancies Sedgwick County does with the 20 cities in Sedgwick County. That's low-hanging fruit. But there's also big opportunities. Think about fire. Think about policing and the significant reform that we could do together as a community. All my cards are on the table. As we move through 2024, I hope to present the case that option three, to reform, is the best route for this community. I believe we can reduce the cost of government, particularly property taxes. I believe we can provide more efficient services. I believe we can protect important community assets like the zoo and Exploration Place long into the future. The way forward is reform, and I hope to find willing partners that are as eager as I am to modernize our local government. Again, this is Commissioner Ryan Bating filling in for John this evening. We're going to take a quick break, then Paula Scanlon back from the Independent Women's Forum. She's going to join us to discuss this week's decision by the NAIA that bans transgender women from competing in women's sports. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be right back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show is sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And when you need breaking news or severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in your vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics announced a policy last week that all but bans transgender athletes from competing in women's sports at its 241 mostly small colleges across the country. The NAIA, Council of Private Presidents, approved the policy in a 20-0 vote at its annual convention in Kansas City, Missouri. The NAIA, which oversees some 83,000 athletes competing in more than 25 sports, is believed to be the first college sports organization to take such a step. Paula Scanlon is an ambassador at Independent Women's Forum and Independent Women's Voice. Scanlon graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, where she was a member of the women's swim team. Inspired by fellow female athletes, Paula broke her silence in June 2023 on her experience as a teammate of a biological male swimmer, Leah Thomas, and the efforts of her college's administration and student body to silence her and suppress her right to free speech. Paula, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Well, according to the transgender participation policy, which goes into effect in August, all athletes may participate in NAIA-sponsored male sports, but only athletes whose biological sex assigned at birth is female and have not begun hormone therapy will be allowed to participate in women's sports. Is that right, Paula?
Yes.
Okay.
And now, it's a great win for them to do that.
Now, you got to tell me, how is this controversial? It seems fairly common sense, and more importantly, it seems fair to me. Am I right? Where are we missing?
You are right. And honestly, I mean, it's a great win and I want to celebrate it. But the bigger question is, why has it taken this long? It is 2024. We saw Leah Thomas, formerly Will Thomas, start crushing all women's swimming events and times and records in the fall of 2021. I just don't understand why it's taken so long. And to this day, the NCAA has still not changed their policies. So to me, it really is common sense. Again, the people on the other side try to say that we're banning people from sports and we're saying they're not allowed to compete. No, everyone can compete in sports. You just have to do so fairly on your sex-based category.
Yeah, very good. Paula, you were a teammate at Penn of biological male swimmer Leah Thomas, and this story made worldwide news. And you saw it firsthand. You lived it firsthand. Does a biological male swimming against women, do they have a physical advantage over female competitors? Help us understand from a swimming perspective. Did Leah have a competitive advantage?
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, providers that we can carry babies and birth them. And males have narrower hips. So in a sport like swimming, when you push off the wall, just pushing off the wall, the narrower you are, the more hydrodynamic you are, so you're going to go further. And that's another advantage people don't think about. And just those factors alone. I mean, it's completely crazy that we're trying to say that men and women are equivalent, that males have no athletic advantage over females. And studies have shown that even if you suppress your testosterone for 1 year, which is what the NCAA recommended, You will not change the size of your lungs, the size of your heart, your height, and your bone density from those things.
Yeah, Paul, that sounds like science is on your side. You know, the National Women's Law Center said her organization was outraged by the NAIA policy. You'd think the National Women's Law Center would be more inclined to defend women than the biological males who want to compete against them. But, and again, this is Commissioner Ryan Beatty talking to Paula Scanlon, ambassador at the Independent Women's Forum. Paula, you have had a lot of increased exposure on this issue. How has this impacted you? What, when you spoke out publicly, and tell us about the feedback and some of the things that have worked out in your favor, some of the challenges you've faced since you've spoken out publicly.
I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of support because studies show that 70% of Americans agree that men or people that are born male should not play in women's sports, which includes many Democrats, actually, in that in those polls. So I've obviously received a lot of support from people in my life. I mean, I've had people that I haven't spoken to in 10 years, kids from middle school messaging me saying, hey, I have sisters and I really support you, or I'm a female athlete myself and I totally get it. But I've also gotten some comments of hate. Just recently, I was at Sacramento State giving a speech, and all of 200 members of California Antifa showed up and screamed outside while I was giving my speech, because talking about keeping sports fair and providing equal opportunity for female athletes apparently warrants protesting and angry mobs. So it's definitely very interesting, but what I will say is that group is very loud, but very small. And most Americans do agree that this is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, Paula, I would agree. Under the new policy, student athletes at NAIA schools would have to report their biological sex. That's something that here in Lindsberg, Kansas, Bethany College, they've announced that they will not enforce. And the can a college do that? Can a college say, like Bethany College, can they do that and still compete in NAIA sports? Do you know if that's the case, Paula?
I feel like they should not be allowed to, but maybe they found a loophole that I'm unaware about. I think that, I mean, obviously there's going to be people who are going to reject these policies, even though it's crazy because your school already knows your sex. Your paperwork is in there. We did physicals at the beginning of freshman year before school even started the University of Pennsylvania. The University of Pennsylvania was very well aware of who was male and who was female. It's not something that's a secret or invasive to ask. It's they know when you apply to school, like they know what your sex is. I don't understand the objection to that.
Yeah. You know, many male athletes are setting records and winning competitions. They're taking slots away from women and girls. President Biden signed an executive order that will make it much easier for males to join females teams for any reason. Paula, will this take roster spots and scholarships away from women and girls?
Absolutely. Every single time one male athlete competes, even if he places last, it is taking away the opportunity from a female. So in a sport like swimming, for example, every single time Thomas competed on behalf of Penn, a girl was asked to stay home. These sports are a limited roster. Even if they place last, a girl is losing their opportunity. In the future, we're going to start seeing college coaches that are going to start recruiting male athletes in the place of female athletes. And they're going to be incentivized to, because coaches' jobs are to win, and we can't blame them for following the rules. And if they don't recruit men, they're going to lose their jobs because their program won't be as good because the other teams also have men on their teams. So this is going to become a huge problem if we continue to let this happen. And again, in the case of Leah Thomas in that 2021 to 2022 swim season, hundreds of girls were affected by just one male athlete, and that's just one. So imagine even a small number, the impact is so much bigger than people can possibly imagine.
Paula, I played a different sport. I played college baseball and professional baseball, and I've seen the struggle that many female athletes have to compete, and many female athletes to get the attention that they deserve. I thought what we saw at the NCAA tournament with a lot of the women's basketball, I thought that was profound. I thought it was wonderful to see the country celebrate these female athletes. It's more than just safety. It's more than just fairness. I'm curious of your experience, and if you're willing to share, Paula, being in the locker room with Leah Thomas, what was that experience like? Was this something that was concerning to you on a personal level? It's more than just what's happening in between the lines or in the pool or competing. Talk about the experience of sharing a locker room with a male that is identifying as a female.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrible, to be entirely frank here. But I think that the biggest thing for me is that, you know, you're used to changing in the locker room for a very long time. And obviously, swimming is one of those sports where you are very, very exposed. Some sports, you could probably get away with not showering there or not completely undressing or whatever it might be. But swimming, you are very vulnerable and very completely undressed. And also, racing suits take at least 10 minutes to get on. So that's an extended period of time where you're exposed when you're going to change into those suits. But one of my close friends in the team, she got the locker next to Thomas, and she went to our coach and said, this has to be a joke. That was what she said. This is a joke, right? Our coach said, no, I'm sorry, it's not. And there's nothing we can do about it. So what she did is she took all of her stuff that she needed, and she walked outside. There was a single stall family bathroom outside our locker room that she went and changed every single day for practice. She would tiptoe and walk over to that. And everyone knew what she was doing, and there was no one who could do anything to help her because, again, her locker was the one right next to Thomas. I was fortunate enough to be in a sort of a separate section, so I had a little bit more distance. But it was traumatizing, and honestly, when I wasn't paying attention, I would hear a male voice. I would jump and think someone had gotten into the locker room, and then I would jump myself back to reality and say, wait a minute, no. We just have males changing this locker room now, and that's something I need to be comfortable with if I want to be on this team. And I think that asking girls to do that is really unacceptable. And one of the other things I will point out is we went on a training trip to Florida, and we were changing at the same facility as 4- and 5-year-old young girls. And my teammates and I watched Thomas undress, completely undressed next to a 4- and 5-year-old girl. I don't know if her parents were aware that that was the case. I can't imagine if they did know that they would be happy about it. And we couldn't do anything about it because if we said anything, we were told we needed therapy and told that we were bigots for our thoughts of being uncomfortable and dressing next to a man.
Wow. Well, Paula, a 2023 study from the Trevor Project showed that upwards of 50% of trans youth had contemplated suicide. I think what's important to note here is that simply you being bold and courageous and sharing your story doesn't mean that you don't have compassion for people that are battling with identity problems. But what's happening here is that we are trying to transform what societal truth is. And we are doing it at the expense of female athletes. And you can be different here. We can have a conversation about fairness in women's sports and still have compassion about people that are battling identity issues. I just want to tell you that you standing up, you speaking out, I think it's incredibly courageous. We appreciate your voice. Paula, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at Paula Y. Scanlon and online at IWF.org. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, Paula, again, thank you for your courage. Thank you for your voice. Thank you again for taking the time to join us this evening. We'll take a quick break and we'll return. We'll talk with Dan Murray from National Federation of Independent Business Kansas about a new survey that shows small business optimism has reached the lowest level since 2012. Again, this is Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. Our studio lines, they're open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. This is Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John this evening. I want to remind you that you can always listen to us by downloading the Odyssey app or telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. You'll find podcast links to all our previous episodes there. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. According to a new survey, small business optimism has reached the lowest level in decades as owners continue to manage numerous economic headwinds. The NFIB Small Business Optimism Index decreased in March to the lowest level since December 2012. With us now to walk us through the results of the survey is Dan Murray with the National Federation of Independent Business Kansas. Dan, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me on.
The lowest level since 2012. 2012, Dan. That's wild. But Joe Biden, Laura Kelly's Twitter feed keeps telling us everything about how great this economy is. Where are we going wrong?
Bidenomics is not necessarily equating to optimism among the small business owners across the country and in Kansas. It dipped a point from last month. The Small Business Optimism Index is something that NFIB has conducted for the last 50 years. And we ask our small business owners about several facets that impact their business operations and have them tell us, you know, how comfortable, how optimistic they feel about the prospects. And we have hit the lowest level since December of 2012 at 88.5. So we dropped a point over last month. Clearly, the things that are going on at the federal and state level aren't giving much hope to small business owners as they continue to contend with increased inflation rates and continued problems with dealing with their labor shortage issues.
Yeah. Well, inflation ticked up again in March compared with last year. 25% of owners reported that inflation was their single most important problem in operating their business. Is that right, Dan?
That's correct. The net percent of owners who expect the real sales to be higher decreased 8 points from February, but their single most important issue that's impacting their problem, 25% of owners said that inflation continues to be, and that's been consistent probably for the last year or more. And so inflation and labor are the things that are impacting small business owners. And I know you know that as well as anybody as a small business owner yourself. You know, I was thinking about the date, December 12th, the lowest level of this optimism index. That was months on the heels after NFIB v. Sebelius. For you and your listeners who may know, NFIB sued this commissioner, Secretary Sebelius at the time.
That's right.
Under the Obama administration for the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And in June of 2012, the Supreme Court unfortunately ruled in favor of the Obama administration. Optimism at that moment took a complete dip south. Small business owners felt attacked with the individual mandate, with concerns about how things would be dealing with their single most important problem, which over the years has been the cost of health insurance. Now we're back at that level. That's how dire things are in the prospects in the minds of small business owners.
Yeah. Again, this is Commissioner Ryan Beatty. I'm here with Dan Murray, National Federation of Independent Business Kansas. Another red flag I noticed in the survey, Dan, 37% of all owners reported job openings they could not fill in the current period. Is that right?
That's correct. There continues to be, of all owners, and there are different sectors within, of course, types of businesses and types of business owners who fill out this survey. But certainly, 37% not only can't find workers, but they can't find qualified workers. And so that has continued to persist in this survey over the last over the last couple of years following COVID. What we witnessed during COVID when the government shut down small business owners and basically paid folks to stay at home is that a lot of people did, and they found out they kind of like it. And so that problem has persisted since COVID. And fortunately, we need something to happen to help us get back that. One of the things we did this past session was pass some unemployment insurance reforms. Included in that was a provision that would encourage small business owners to report those beneficiaries of unemployment benefits to not ghost their interview process. So what we would see is that, you know, these beneficiaries, in order to meet the requirements of receiving their benefits, they have to make a interview they would make the interview, say that they made that interview, and then fail to show up for that interview. So we think we've addressed that problem, and hopefully that will help in some small part in this issue with labor.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. As a small business owner with does business all throughout the state of Kansas, I would agree wholeheartedly. You know, the JCNF poll, it revealed that among 400 small business owners, 46% of these owners said the economy is getting worse. So Here we are looking at Kansas. If the governor vetoes yet another tax cut next week, that's not going to be good news for small business owners and employees, Dan. How will this resonate for small business throughout Kansas?
We do a tax, we do an every 4 year survey. In the last 4 year survey, tax issues made up 4 to 5 of the top 10 issues confronting small business owners. The economy is going is very bleak at this moment with inflation, with labor issues. We have one opportunity, one glimmer of hope, and that would be some tax relief here at home in Kansas. You know, the governor ran, and I think many of our members voted for her, and I know many Kansans did, based on the idea that she was running from the middle. The tax bill that has been sent to her desk for consideration comes from a point of being in the middle. The legislature has moved to the middle to meet some of her requests, and it's time for some tax relief to give back the over $3 billion in reserves to the small business owners and residents of Kansas that have sent that money to Topeka.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, Dan, the trajectory of the last few years, it's scary, man. It's dangerous for our families, our small businesses. I've seen numbers upwards of 25% for food and grocery costs that are up compared to pre-pandemic levels. Fuel's up, housing's up. This is a challenge. People are hurting and they're concerned. So what do we do moving forward? Is this correctable? What needs to happen to bring stability and optimism back to the small business owner in Kansas?
I think certainty is definitely something that small business owners appreciate, that they know when they go to pay their taxes next year, what that rate's going to be, that it's going to be at a lower level than it was previously. That it's not going to be jacked up at the federal level or the state level. Certainty is definitely important. I think the right signs in terms of leadership from D.C. Is really important. I think our small business owners are skeptical that the current administration is really focused on the things that will make their lives better. They're using regulatory authority to send down unreasonable and very expensive regulations, overtime rules, et cetera, rather than focusing on what matters to job creators, which is keeping government as much as possible out of their business. Let them go do what they do best and grow the economy by being entrepreneurs and business owners.
Now, Dan, if you could see me in studio right now, man, my hands are pumping. You are singing my tune. As a small business owner, we want a state government. We want government in general, federal, state, local. We want them not to overreach. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan. The lifeblood of our economy is a small business owner. Am I right?
Absolutely. 90 in Kansas, about as defined by the Small Business Administration, over 92% of our economy is made up of small business owners. 69%, 70% of our economy is made up collectively by the small business economy. Small business owners are the heartbeat, the backbone of the economy, and we've got to do everything we can to protect them.
Hey, Dan, it's John Whitmer. Pardon me for interrupting. I wanted to ask you a quick question. Back when I was a candidate back in the day, eons ago, it was something like 60% of Kansans were actually employed by small business. What's that number today? Is it still as high as it was?
It is. I don't have the direct numbers in front of me, but it is collectively, as defined by employers that are 500 or less, it is well over 60%.
And that's something we need to make sure we remind folks that not only is it the lifeblood of the state, but it's also the lifeblood of folks' pocketbooks.
That's
and so I appreciate you, brother. Sorry to interrupt, but I just really appreciate
it. No, it's good. And Dan, listen, keep telling this news. Keep contending for the small business owner. We're grateful for you. We appreciate you joining us this evening. And if folks want to connect with you, they can find you online at nfib.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you can /Kansas, and that'll get directly to our state-specific page.
There you go, Dan. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for the time.
Okay, again, this is Ryan Beatty filling in for John Whitmer this evening. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Let's chat. Our studio lines are open. Give us a call, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This is Commissioner Ryan Beatty filling in for John tonight. This segment of the John Whitmer Show sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. From breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Next week's guest host, free market economist Michael Austin. It'll be a great show. Thursday, April 18th, Sedgwick County Republican Party meeting, 6:30 p.m. They're going to be doing a Kansas legislative update at WAB on 730 North Main Street. We encourage you to go. And, of course, the weekly Wichita Pachyderm Club lunch Fridays at noon at the Petroleum Club. Also, Republican Women United, a wonderful group of women. Their monthly meetings are held on the second Saturday of the month, 9:30 opens for some fellowship, and then 10 a.m. at WABA on 7:30 North Main. And then last but not least, Sedgwick County Black Republican Council is having their second annual Better Together Unity Ball. It's a great time. April 27th, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Okay, we got a few callers lined up. Pat, how you doing this evening?
Country, am I on?
You are on.
I saw the sheriff come out of the association meeting with his cowboy hat on, Ohio sheriff. He said, I wanted the public to know that it's just a matter of when a terror attack will take place in the United States. That, and number two, we're under a terrorist watch. But number three, I've seen the Chinese come right up into our border, parade dress. They have same backpacks, I would say, to Sheriff Easter. They have same army boots. And you can see it. Michael Yon, he's a Green Beret journalist, went undercover with his camera. You can see it on MadMaxWorld.tv. And the camps are right above Panama. A real Chinese coming into our border and military gate. And this Green Beret journalist has quite an eye for seeing things like this. I wanted to let Sheriff Easter know that.
Well, Pat, we appreciate that insight. You know, the border is a big topic of conversation in a lot of ways. You know, we actually see, and the sheriff has talked about it, so has Chief of Police for Wichita, Joe Sullivan. He talked about it frequently, where the biggest impact that we see from the border is what we're seeing with drugs, the opioids, the cartel meth that's coming across the border. It has a big impact right here in Wichita.
You've got Tony Mativi from the KBI coming up next segment. You have to ask him about fentanyl.
Yeah, substance use, you know, the sheriff, you know, we're going to talk this evening about the psychiatric hospital, but the sheriff's talked frequently about what's going on inside of his jail. You know, right now he's got about 1,150 inmates in his Sedgwick County jail. He'd tell you 75-80% of them have a mental health disorder or a substance use disorder or both. And most of these individuals are experiencing an opioid addiction, or they're experiencing many of that with fentanyl, or they're experiencing the meth that's on the streets today. And he'll tell you, John, that the meth on the streets today is a different kind of meth. It's calling it a cartel meth. It literally induces psychosis. So this is a significant problem. The border does have something to do with this, and what you see on the news with people pouring over the border, it does have impact all across this country and right here in Sedgwick County.
You know, you mentioned earlier in the show, you were talking in your monologue, you were talking about property taxes. And I got to ask you, I got asked last, well, I saw you at the KFL deal on Friday night. By the way, fantastic event. If you missed it, you missed out a fantastic banquet of 700 folks at the KFL banquet. It was a great time, but
and you emceed this event.
Well, they were desperate. They looked up everybody in a phone book. Nobody else is available. So
It was a great event.
They were like, okay, I guess they got all the way down to the W's, and they finally found Whitmer, and they said, okay, we'll get this guy. He's got a face for radio, so we can put him up there. At any rate, but you were talking about taxes and property taxes, and I commend you for not voting to capture all the property taxes in the last. I wish my county commissioner, David Dennis, would do that. That guy hasn't seen a tax increase that he didn't like. But can you talk a little bit more about that? Because, I mean, as I was telling you before the show, our home has gone up $100,000 in less than 10 years, and all we've done is mow the lawn.
Yeah.
And it's just that appraisal value. And, you know, there are county commissioners, Dennis, who love going around saying, we have held the mill levy, we haven't raised your taxes, but I'm sure paying more in taxes. And that's got to stop.
Well, I'll tell you, my colleague, Commissioner Dennis, he's a good man.
Yes,
the colonel's, he's a good man.
He is a good man. And he's just not a good commissioner.
And these decisions, John, are challenging from a budgetary standpoint.
Yes, I don't dispute that at all.
They are. And the reason why they're challenging, I'll tell you, is because the bulk of what we do as Sedgwick County government is public safety.
Yeah.
So if you think about the sheriff, you think about the jail, you think about EMS, you think about 911, Forensic Science Center, I mean, the county fire, all of this is... And the bulk of it is funded through property tax dollars.
Everything you said in your monologue, I completely agreed with. Yeah. The problem is that you're one of the few, you and Jim Howell, really, are really the only commissioners that I hear consistently talking about that other component, which is trying to find those efficiencies, find those ways. It's just the other part is just laziness.
Well, I'll tell you again, for many years at Sedgwick County government, we've had a very conservative commission.
Yeah.
If you think back of the days of Carl Peterjohn, Richard Ranzau, Jim in his early days, where we are today from a financial standpoint at Sedgwick County government is because of financial stewardship.
Yes, I agree.
I would also tell you on the other side of that is compensation wasn't where it needed to be.
No.
Now, is compensation the only part of staffing stability? It's not, but it's a big part of that equation. And when you talk about public safety and public services and public health in particular, you got to have staffing stability in order to perform these functions.
Yeah, they got to be competitive. You know my soft spots, law enforcement. You've got to be competitive there, or your sheriff's deputies are going to go work for another municipality
and that's what happened.
Wichita.
My point is this, though, is there's really nothing left to cut. I'd be happy to sit down with anybody and go over the Sedgwick County budget There's not much to cut unless we start seeing diminishing returns. The option is there, though, for reform.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
If I had a whiteboard here tonight and I listed all the things that we do for Sedgwick County government and then all the things that the 20 cities of Sedgwick County do, you'd see these redundancies.
Now, that's the key.
With a business mindset and a business background, I look at that and I see opportunity. And I see an opportunity to reform what we do on the local level so that we can gain more efficiencies, but we can also find those redundancies and where we're spending property tax dollars and their shared services, John.
And I think that's the opportunity that we have to have. And it's not only at the county level. I think we have to have that at the city level. And
yes,
more importantly, at the school district level. I live out in the Goddard School District. Our property taxes went up 18% last year. It's outrageous.
Yeah, these are challenging on a lot of levels. It's challenging, but you know what? Our community, they deserve the conversation. They deserve the capacity to share services.
They
deserve leadership.
They do.
So, hey, listen, this is Commissioner Ryan Beatty. Appreciate that chat. I'm filling in for John Whitmer this evening. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, we're going to explore why some say marijuana is more menace than medicine with Tony Mativi, director of the KBI. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be right back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.